The Reintegration Process, written by I'm At My Limit. A chorus of screeching and shifting high school students rising from their chairs can be heard as the final bell rings on Friday afternoon. Anne is the first out of her class, a horde of other students following, coming from every direction. She dodges, ducks under arms, and maneuvers past groups, absorbed in conversation, until she reaches the smaller, slightly less crowded hall to her right. She turns into it, leaving the majority of the rush to fend for themselves behind her. She bids them a silent good luck on their journey. "It's not like you even need them," comes a voice Anne recognizes from behind a few last stragglers and people getting things from their lockers. She continues towards the sound, whispering apologies to people she has to push past. "It's sweet you think I'm that smart," is Marcy's response to whatever Sasha said in full.
"You are! And tell Marcy how smart she is."
Anne regains her balance after squeezing by one last person. She assesses the situation. Marcy is kneeling on the floor, attempting to shove a textbook into her bag atop of many others. A familiar scene.
"I do tell her, Sash, every week." Anne kneels and helps her. "You know she doesn't listen."
"She'll keep not listening if you keep letting her get away with it. I think she enjoys it, honestly."
"I don't," Marcy protests. "I just know I might need them. It's called being responsible."
"You barely ever study."
"Well, maybe I'll decide I want to this weekend."
Sasha sighs deeply, head in hands, and vies for a different approach.
"You're going to hurt yourself."
"I can handle it." Marcy zips her bag shut with a considerable amount of effort. Anne stands. "Are we walking home together?" she asks. They usually do, but sometimes their friends are busy on Fridays. Weekend preparations can be an ordeal. Marcy follows her up. She doesn't take the bag with her.
"Sure."
Sasha shrugs.
"Okay, cool, let's..."
"Hey girls, wait up!" A voice calls from the hall's entrance. They turn in sync. Anne thinks she recognizes the girl running up to them from one of her classes. Maybe history? What was her name again?
"Thanks," she says, breathing heavily as she catches up.
"I wanted to ask you something." She addresses all of them, but she's looking at Anne.
Shoot, she replies. "It's Caitlin, right?"
She should know this.
The girl, Caitlin, maybe, smiles and holds out a slip of paper.
"Great. I'm having a party this weekend, or tomorrow, I guess." Anne takes it.
"I wanted to invite you guys, but I can never find you anywhere outside of school."
Anne chuckles vaguely to shrug off the question she'd been implying. Most of their time outside of school is spent in another dimension, which she doesn't exactly feel comfortable sharing or explaining.
"My number's on there," Caitlin continues. "Call or text me or something for details, okay? Sorry it's short notice. I hope you come."
Yeah, Anne manages to get a word in. Caitlin starts walking away before whirling back around.
"Oh, you could just tell your parents you're staying the night at each other's houses, right?"
Anne looks at the others. They probably could. The idea makes her uneasy.
"Sure," she says. "But, why?"
"There's gonna be boys there, duh. It's pretty much the whole grade."
"Ah, right. Boys."
Caitlin smiles. "Think about it," she says, and skips away. Anne unfolds the paper and glances over the neatly sharpied numbers. An idea starts to form.
"What do you two think?"
"What?"
Sasha asks. "You're not actually considering it, are you?"
"Yeah, I am. Why? Are you busy tomorrow?" She looks away.
"No, but..."
She searches for a reason. Anne knows Sasha will never admit it, but reintegration into a school environment has been the hardest for her. Upending a corrupt monarchy and risking her own life every day had cost her a lot of the popular girl charisma she'd been known for in middle school. and understands. She knows better than most how hard it is to relate to other teenagers after something like that. But this could help. It could be fun. You used to love parties. She hugs her forearms. Her eyes are somewhere far off. What do you think, Marcy?
Oh, well,
Marcy starts. She closes her locker as gently as she can.
I did have a meeting this weekend for, you know.
She checks their surroundings. Still a couple students here and there. Government things. I know you want an excuse to skip that, Anne says. She tugs at the end of her hair. She started doing that recently, like she's expecting it to be longer than it actually is.
Yeah, I do, she admits. I still don't understand why they let teenagers be in charge of that sort of stuff, Sasha says.
Hey, I thought I was smart.
You are. I just don't think they know you aren't an adult.
Fair, Marcy says. She peers at the phone number in Anne's hand.
So, we're going?
Looks like it.
Sasha sighs.
Who was that girl, by the way?
I think her name's Caitlin. We have world history together.
Why do you ask?
No reason.
Sasha holds out a hand for the paper, which Anne provides. She squints, turning it over in her palms.
I'm sure there's no need for all the suspicion, Sash, Marcy says, watching her. She seemed really nice.
She hands the paper back. Her voice doesn't lose its cynical edge.
So did I, back when she used to throw parties.
There's a beat of silence. Anne realizes the final stragglers have left the hallway now. She grips the straps on her backpack.
Come on, we can talk more about it on the way.
All right, Sasha says.
Yeah,
Marcy agrees.
Just gotta, you know.
She surveys her own bag for the best method to go about picking it up and carrying it. She's about to go for the left shoulder strap when the bag is taken from the floor. Sasha easily hefts it onto one of her shoulders, her own bag resting on the other.
Marcy grins. You're too nice to me.
She doesn't acknowledge it. Anne finally pockets the phone number and leads them out of the building through the empty hall. Sasha's house is quiet. It always is. Most of the lights are off when Anne walks through the unlocked door on Saturday evening, but the faintest sounds of talking and laughter trickle from upstairs. Anne drops the sleeping bag her mother made her bring next to the door. She doesn't like lying to her parents, but she's already reasoned that this is for the greater good of her and her friends. The endless cycle of school and then their amphibia-related duties is getting to them, she thinks. Being sociable is good. They need it. Anne needs it. Because, seriously, when is the last time she forgot someone's name? And just like that, she's nearly reasoned her way out of the guilt. Nice. Maybe her mom will understand this as part of that teenage rebellion thing adults are always going on about. But that excuse doesn't hold much weight when you've helped stage an actual rebellion. Anne should be rebellioned out by now.
Whatever.
She treads up the stairs.
So then I cut his arm off.
She hears Sasha finish as she nears the open door of her room. Marcy bursts into laughter.
Excuse me?
Anne says from the doorway. Marcy is sitting cross-legged on the bed with Sasha's head in her lap. They both smile when they see her, but it doesn't seem like they're aware of that fact. Sasha isn't, at least. She tries to keep up the bored, edgy persona with a giant grin on her face. What a dork.
Hey, Anne. I was just telling Marcy about...
Marcy moves from underneath her before she can finish, sending her head plummeting into the expanse of the bedsheets. She bounds over to stand in front of Anne.
You look good,
she says, tucking on one of her shirt sleeves, probably knocked askew by the journey over to fix it.
So do you.
Anne brushes a hand over her shirt collar.
Thanks,
she says, quiet.
Sasha pushes up from where she was unceremoniously dropped. She comes up from the side and drapes an arm across each of their shoulders. "Yo," she says, plainly and without explanation. It's Ant's turn to laugh. "You're so weird," she says. "I don't want to see you walking up to people and doing stuff like this once we get there, okay?" "Of course I wouldn't do that. I've lost all of my social skills, you know?" "Oh, and no talking about maiming people either," Mercy adds. "I've never maimed a person." "So we're back to amphibians aren't people now," Anne raises an eyebrow. "I'm so telling on you when we go back." Sasha throws her hands up and backs away. "I can never win with any of you." "Wouldn't it be any fun that way?" Anne says. Sasha crosses her arms. "It'd be fun for me." "Anyways," Marcy interrupts before they can get any worse. "When do we need to get there?" Anne pulls out her phone. "It's 6 right now. She said we can show up anytime after 5, though." Marcy flops onto the bed again. "Well, whenever you guys are ready." Sasha nods. She sits at her desk and busies herself with some sort of makeup Anne could care less about. She stares into a little tabletop mirror. Anne concedes to sitting and waiting with Marcy. "Hey, Anne," Sasha calls after a minute. She looks up from her phone. "Yeah?" She lifts herself from against Marcy's shoulder. If she didn't know who she was talking to, she could swear Sasha looks nervous. "I know you don't usually like it, but..." She fidgets with the little tube in her hands. "Could you let me do your makeup?" Anne pauses. It's weird to see Sasha so quiet and unsure of herself. Even weirder to hear her ask for something so directly. Anne's silent for a moment. She knows how to use it herself, but if Sasha really wants to, she'll let her. "That's totally fine," she says. "Just don't go crazy or anything." She tries to laugh it off to quell some of Sasha's apparent hesitancy. "Relax, I'm just gonna use this." She holds up the tube and shakes it as she makes her way to the bed. Anne moves back to give her room to sit in front of her. Sasha climbs up on her knees. She pops off the cap and stares at her expectantly. "You need to close your eyes," she says. "Right, sorry." Anne does. "Is this better?" "Yes, that's what closing your eyes is." "Oh, shut up." The bed springs creak. Anne feels something press down in her eyelid. She flinches away. "You're not supposed to move, either. Sorry, I'll just..." She balls her fists in her lap. "Keep still." But she recoils on instinct as soon as the brush gets close again. Sasha sighs. "I know, and..." Suddenly, Anne can't form words. There's a hand at her cheek to steady her. Sasha lightly tilts her head, angling it upwards. Anne barely feels the delicate brush strokes over the rush of warmth to her face. She doesn't dare move again. "Okay, open," Sasha says after an amount of time. Either too long or too short, if there's a difference. Anne opens her eyes. Sure enough, everything she felt is real. And very close to her right now. Close enough to be uncomfortable, which reasonably she should be. But she can't find it in herself. Sasha angles her to both sides, double-checking her work. Something resembling a smile flashes in her eyes. She lets her hand fall, fingertips hovering at the edges of Anne's face for a second too long. She clips the cap back on. "Cute," she whispers, and before Anne has time to process that, she ruffles a hand through her bangs and backs away. Anne realizes she isn't breathing correctly. Her hands, still balled into fists, are sore from holding the position. "You want any, Marce?" Sasha holds it out to her. Marcy hesitates, which is weird, considering how opposed she usually is to wearing makeup. She looks between the two of them.
No thanks. I'm good, she says.
It's like she wants to continue with something else, but tears her eyes away, so she can't. All right. Sasha tosses it in a random desk drawer and pushes it shut. Are you ready? Anne stretches and gets to her feet. She nudges Marcy, who's still looking at the floor, deep in thought. She jumps. Oh, yeah, I think we are. Anne helps her up. Great, she says. She looks them over. Barely concealed anxiousness can be seen on both of them. In the way Marcy runs her fingernails along the hems of her shirt, or the way Sasha keeps avoiding her eyes with a scowl. Anne gently takes each of them by the wrists to pull them into a huddle. She moves her hands to their shoulders. Hey, she whispers. It's gonna be fine, okay? I'm not worried, Sasha says. It's just a dumb party. Sure you aren't. I just want you to know I'll be there if you need it. She pauses. And thank you both. I know this is hard, and I know you don't really want to go, but you're doing it for me. And that's... thank you. I think this is gonna be good for us. Marcy squeezes her hand. There are worse things. I like having excuses to hang out with you guys anyway. I feel like we're always busy now. Yeah, kinda weird. Sasha looks aside. But thanks, Anne, she adds in a whisper. Hey, it's no problem. She pumps her fists. Now, let's get excited. Let's do this thing. Marcy mimics her. Yeah! Hooray! Sasha weakly lifts one hand. Good enough. Plus, her exasperated smile gives it all away. The walk isn't that long, but the uneasy silence makes it feel longer. Night falls as they get closer to the house, and with it grows the feeling that they aren't supposed to be here. The guilt sneaks up on Anne again. Which one of our houses did you tell your parents you're staying at? She asks to fill the silence. And because she figures she wants to know if anything goes wrong. Yours, Marcy says. Sasha stays quiet. Anne doesn't prod her. It's likely they didn't ask at all. Look, we're almost here. Anne motions to a house in front of them. The number on the mailbox is the same as the one from Caitlin's text. Lights and music travel through the closed door. There are a lot of cars in the driveway. Marcy drops her hand as they approach the porch steps. You ready? Anne asks, fist poised over the door to knock. She doesn't get a clear answer. She knocks exactly one time before the door swings open.
Ah, hi,
Caitlin says before she even finishes opening it.
I'm so glad you're here.
She grabs Anne by the wrists.
Come on, I'll show you guys around,
she says, pulling her inside.
Okay.
Anne spares a glance at her friends. They look like they're holding up so far, though Marcy's looking a little jumpy, and Sasha's eyes are sharp as she sizes up the other people, hanging around on benches and leaning against walls. Caitlin's house is nice. Nicer than Anne's, but not as nice as either of her friends. It's more than big enough to fit the crowd, which is what matters. So, Caitlin points around. There's the living room, the bathroom, that's the kitchen, there's drinks and stuff in there. Anne has to wonder what she means by that. Do kids her age drink? Probably. Kids her age will do anything just to prove that they can. Caitlin keeps talking. You can go upstairs if you want, but there's pretty much nothing there. People mostly just hanging around for now, but once everyone gets here, I think we'll do some games or something, if that's cool. Yeah, that sounds cool. Good, she says. Okay, I got some other stuff to do, but you guys have fun. And with that, she's gone.
That was great, Sasha says. Now, who wants to go and stand in a corner?
No way. Anne grabs them by the back of their shirt collars. You are going to socialize tonight if it is the last thing you do. We need friends. Or friends, Marcy points out. Friends besides each other. They don't have the best track record when it comes to complete codependency on each other. It's a trap Anne would rather not fall into again.
human friends, she corrects before Sasha can speak. She sighs, defeated. I don't like any other humans. Really? When's the last time you talked to one? Like, full-on conversation? Sasha has to pause. Been a while, she admits. Same, Mercy says. It's hardly a joke. I said I'd be there for you, right? Come on, girls. We've got this. Sticking to each other's sides is comfortable, but it doesn't work out for long. It never does, and that's why this is so hard. Everyone willing to talk to them as a group does so with as much casualness as they can muster, which is not much. It's hard to be convincing. Most can't shake the underlying sense of unease or sadness. Anne understands, more or less, but it's still annoying. They didn't go to the same middle school as a lot of these people, so they don't know the full story. Nobody actually does. All they know is that their three faces, plastered next to each other on missing posters, are something to be regarded as an anomaly. The three of them together are a warning, a lesson of what not to do. They shouldn't be alive, and since they are, they're a question nobody wants to ask. Some of their notions of danger are, of course, correct, but it doesn't make small talk any easier. Individually, it's easier to treat them like people instead of unprecedented statistics. Sasha's the first to get fed up with being pitied. She's always been like that. She slips away to another room with a word to Anne and Marcy that she'll be back later. Anne can only hope she won't settle for a secluded corner. Marcy separates from her after. Not so much on purpose, rather than her overhearing and getting whisked away in a conversation with another group that Anne can't keep up with. It's fine. She drifts from person to person with a quip or a comment in their absence, which is entertaining enough. In reality, it's not so much that Anne wants more friends. She's good at making friends. She knows. She might be rusty, but she could at least get to know most of these people if she had the time. Sasha and Marcy aren't so good with those things anymore. There's a level of connection to other people that you have to sacrifice if you're okay with making the decision to leave humanity behind forever. Even if they regretted it, they were willing. Anne hopes they'll be able to get that connection back if she guides them in the right direction. In an ideal world, they'd have more people than just her to ground them. She'll do her best to make sure that they can get that in the future. They won't be together forever. They've been lucky up until now. One day, Anne won't be enough for them. Not in a self-depreciating way, but in the sense that they'll naturally grow out of this friendship, like most everybody does. They'll want things out of life she can't give them. Success and stability and families and... Oh, God. Anne sits in an elevated stool at the kitchen counter. She rests her cheek in her palm. When they were little, they used to joke about having a joint wedding. It wasn't a joke back then, but it seems like one now. It used to be a testament to their friendship, the idea that they'd never be apart. But now, Anne knows better. It would be the opposite. It would be a goodbye. Moving on to better things. Anne should want that for them. She does. But selfishly, she wishes that there was a way she could be a consistent part of it, even after they go. She wishes there was a way they wouldn't have to go at all. Anne knows it wouldn't be fair to herself to try to be everything they'd ever need. But she wants to. She wants to make them happy, just for the hell of it. It's only fair. They make her happy just by existing. But she'll give it up if she has to. If it means they'll be better apart someday. Not now. They'll stick close for now. If only to make this transitional period of their lives easier.
to have other people to confide in who know what it's like to feel like they exist in two places at once. Maybe when they stop needing the support, they'll stop needing each other. She hopes when the time comes, she'll have lived with that fact long enough to accept it. "Hey," someone says from beside her, jolting her out of her own head. Sasha pulls up to the chair next to her with a sigh. "You good? I saw you sitting over here by yourself." "Yeah," Anne looks at her hands. "I'm just thinking about stuff." "Well, stop. Whatever it is, it's making you upset." Sasha pushes a red plastic cup across the table. "Here." Anne takes it. She peers over the edge and sloshes the clear liquid around with caution. "Chill out. It's water." There are some guys back there trying to open the lock on the liquor cabinet, but they haven't gotten far. Anne takes a sip. It is indeed water. "So that's what you've been doing this whole time? Talking to boys?" "More like scoping the place out." "Jeez, loosen up." Anne lightly shakes her on the shoulder. "Nobody's gonna attack you here." There's a small scuffling from the living room. They turn in time to see Caitlin climbing onto her coffee table. "Hi, everyone," she proclaims in the sweet, sing-songy way Anne is coming to recognize very well. "I hope you're all having a good time." There's a murmur of agreement. Anne's surprised to see how much more crowded the place has gotten. She instinctively scans for Marcy. "So, now that I think we're all here, we're gonna start with some games in the other room." While Caitlin is speaking, Marcy emerges from somewhere and sidles up next to them. Sasha puts a hand on her shoulder. "We're just gonna do some simple stuff to try and get to know each other better. You can totally stay out here if you want." With that, she jumps from the table. "Okay, that's it. See you in a minute." She motions a few nearby people through the doorway with her. "Well?" Sasha asks. "Are we going in there?" Anne takes another drink of water. "Beats whatever's going on out here. Marcy?" Marcy makes a similar, noncommittal gesture. "Getting to know people is good." "Are you just saying that to make me feel better?" Anne asks. "Maybe. But I'm trying, right? Let's go in." "I like your spirit." Anne takes her hand, and Marcy latches on tight. They're some of the first to shuffle into the room. The lights are off inside, and nobody bothers to turn them on. It puts Anne on edge. Something about it sends the message that they aren't supposed to be doing this, like it's a secret. That's probably a silly thing to think about, icebreakers. Still, she can't push the feeling aside. People sit down at their own pace, forming an amorphous circle around the room. Anne settles her group in a corner to the left of the entrance. Sasha regards each newcomer with wariness. She sits down, but she doesn't take her eyes off of them. Anne bumps against her to try and lessen the tension in her shoulders. She manages a smile before leaning back, pretending to relax. The first, and likely only, game with how long it's taking is Truth or Dare. Classic. Though a few of the dares get more intense than Anne's used to. She cringes as a girl she barely knows throws her phone against the wall and shatters the screen. Most of the truth options are uncreative. There are quite a few confessions of undying love. Nothing important. Even more of either option are dedicated to inside jokes she's got no hope of understanding. More and more people trickle in over the course of the game, including a group of frustrated-looking guys, one of them pocketing a wrench, which leaves Anne with a number of questions, mostly concerning where they got a wrench and how they thought it would help open a lock. Luckily, she and Marcy aren't called on. Sasha is, but she's only tasked with pouring the remainder of the water in Anne's cup over herself after she rapidly picks Dare. "Sorry," she whispers, handing the empty cup back. She calls on somebody across the room, and the attention is diverted from them again.
That is, until Marcy's name is called. She all but jumps from her position on the floor, arms hugging her knees. The boy who said her name grins as her eyes dart to him. Truth or dare? She swallows and shifts around. Dare. She looks nervous. Anne would reach out to comfort her if everyone wasn't looking at them. The boy taps a finger to his chin. Let me think. He stares at the ceiling, playing the part of being deep in thought. Okay, you have options.
Oh?
Yep. Option one is to let somebody in the room cut your hair.
Hey, that's not fair, Anne says. Her hair's already short.
He sneers.
Whoa, calm down there. That's why she has two choices.
He holds up two fingers and presents them to her like she's an idiot.
It's not your dare, anyway.
Anne reluctantly accepts this. She shuts her mouth and leans back against the wall. The second option, he continues, looking at Marcy again, is to kiss the hottest person in the room.
Oh no, is he flirting with her?
Anne turns to Marcy. She's blushing like crazy, eyes switching between Anne and Sasha, who sits straight back, glaring at the kid. Anne assumes Marcy is looking to them for guidance, but has none to give. Sasha's the only one of them who has any experience with this type of stuff, and even then she might have lost it in the past couple years. The desire to grab onto Marcy increases, though she's not sure for whose comfort anymore.
Like, objectively?
Marcy asks, rubbing the back of her head.
No. It has to be who you think is the hottest, he says.
She grimaces.
Oh. You know, you, don't have to do this if it's not fun.
Caitlin speaks up from the other end of the room. It's clear everyone else disagrees, but they don't say it.
No, it's fine.
Marcy smiles directly at the boy.
I'll take the haircut.
What? He and Anne ask at the same time. Anne's voice carries a hint of awe. Incredulity ripples through the rest of the room. It's quickly replaced by excitement, the thrill of seeing another person doing something dumb.
Seriously?
He says. The odd surprise leaves Anne quickly. Why should Marcy have to do any of what this guy wants? Anne feels the need to reassure her that she doesn't have to, that this is all stupid and they should go back home, actually. But Sasha throws an arm around Marcy before anyone can do anything.
You heard her!
She laughs, staring him down. He quiets under her gaze. Who here knows how to cut hair? A girl across the room slowly raises her hand. Her choppy bangs don't do much for Anne's confidence, but Marcy stands without hesitation. Sasha goes with her and guides her to the other girl. Anne watches, frozen, as she gets up. This is happening so fast. She hasn't fully recovered from the concept of Marcy getting hit on. Marcy gives a shy little wave to the other girl. Don't mess her up, Sasha warns, and hands her off. The girl nods and leads her out of the room.
I'll see you in a minute, Marcy says as she's pulled through the door.
Yeah, Anne whispers when she's already gone. Sasha moves back next to her. She squeezes Anne's shoulder before sitting. You know she'll be fine, she says. She can handle it. She would have opted out if she couldn't. Anne wants to say she knows that, but she's cut off. Since that might take a while, do you want to go right now? The boy who had been unsubtly flirting with Marcy fixes his annoyed glare on her. Anne, was it? He asks, even though he knows her name.
Sure, Anne says.
Hit me.
Okay.
Truth or dare? Anne doesn't want to risk any of the dares these people can come up with, especially since this guy's already kinda angry at her. And she's got nothing to hide, really. Truth. All right. He smiles evilly. What really happened when you disappeared for 6 months?
Oh. Nothing except that.
The room is suddenly tense with anticipation.
I meant dare.
There are more than a few sighs or scoffs. Disappointment is evident. He doesn't give up so easily.
No way. If you want to switch, you gotta do the dare no matter what.
Yeah, sure, whatever. And if you can't, you have to answer, he finishes. His voice has a hint of question. He's seeing how much she'll let him get away with.
Fine, yes, just tell me what to do, Anne says.
His smile deepens.
I dare you to jump out of a second-story window.
He crosses his arms smugly.
Unless, of course, you wanted to just tell us what...
But Anne's already standing. Which one? The hardest part is wrangling the crowd upstairs and into... The hardest part is wrangling the crowd upstairs and into a much smaller guest room. Some call other people who are hanging out throughout the house over with the promise that somebody's going to do something crazy at the risk of death or at least serious injury. It takes a minute to get most everyone there to witness her stupidity. Anne is pretty sure she's got this. It'll be fine. As they walk through the house, she looks for Marcy in every room they pass. She doesn't find her. Of course, she's scanning for a head of black hair that may very well be sheared off by now. Sasha clasps onto her arm the whole way. She only stops after they've been herded into the room, and Anne is pushed to the front of the crowd.
Can I trust you not to hurt yourself? Sasha asks. Sash, I'm fine. This is nothing. I literally have superpowers.
What? Well, don't use them.
She hisses, eyeing the people behind them. Anne shrugs.
That's not an answer, Anne. That's not...
Her words are drowned out by cheering as Anne approaches the closed window. She undoes the lock and pushes it up. The ground underneath isn't that far. She's fallen from bigger heights before. Soft grass is bathed in the cool colors of the night. How late is it, anyway? Who cares? She steps onto the windowsill.
Okay, Anne?
Sasha grows sterner. She looks out the window after her.
You seriously don't have to do this. I won't judge. Who cares what these people think, anyway, right?
Hey. Anne positions herself so she's sitting in the window, legs dangling out, while still turned into the room. She stops herself from falling with a hand against the frame.
It's all good. If I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't, right?
Sasha looks unconvinced.
If you die, I'm gonna be so pissed. Don't,
she says, but backs off.
You got it.
Anne considers herself fairly good at cheating death.
All right, sickos, she says, addressing the crowd. Here I go. This is what you wanted.
She moves the rest of herself through the window.
Not far at all.
If she lands right, she might not even break anything. She counts down in her head. 3, 2, and jumps before she can get to 1. Cold, moving air bites into her skin for a moment. She chucks into herself like second nature. Her side hits the ground first. Luckily, the dirt acts as more of a cushion than expected. It all goes smoothly, aside from the sharp, cutting rock that digs into her right shoulder as she slams down on it. Ow. She loses her momentum, splayed out on her back. The cheering from the room above pauses for the second before she holds out a thumbs up, then resumes, louder. The adrenaline leaves Anne's body. She doesn't want to get up. The ground is soft. Her shoulder aches.
The front door is thrust open. Anne! Somebody yells. Marcy. Anne pushes up on her elbows. Ow. In time to see her running over with her arms out. She drops to her knees next to Anne. Anne flops down in the grass again. Hey, Marmar, she says to the sky.
Oh my fr- I mean, God.
Marcy appears above her.
Why did you do that? Are you okay?
Her hands flutter over Anne's face.
Uh-huh,
she says, and lets herself be pulled up and into a hug. Anne goes to lay a hand at the base of Marcy's head. She gasps as it brushes against the fuzz of short, buzzed-off hair.
You actually did it.
Marcy reels back.
What, let her cut my hair? That's what you're concerned about? You just jumped 20 feet from a window!
Crazy night.
Anne runs the hand across her hair again. From the front, she can barely tell the difference, save for the sides being a little shorter and the outgrown part at the top of her head looking a little more tousled.
That's good. You look nice.
Marcy doesn't respond. She grabs either side of Anne's face.
Are you sure you weren't hurt?
No. Well, maybe my shoulder, but it's not.
Marcy tucks down the collar of her shirt to check. Anne's cheeks burn. Marcy sighs.
Yeah, you did. Come on, let's get you inside so I can fix it.
She stands and pulls Anne up by her other arm. They walk back into the house. With it looming over her, Anne realizes how much she doesn't want to be back here. To go back into a room filled with people who literally encouraged her to jump out a window. Maybe this was a bad idea. Sasha's waiting for them in the doorway. Hey, she says casually. She snakes an arm around Anne's waist to support her. Anne almost tells her she can walk by herself, but it feels good to be held right now. So she doesn't. Sasha corrals their group inside, past prying eyes, into a bathroom. She locks the door behind them and stands guard with her back to it. Anne sits down while Marcy rummages through the cabinet for supplies. Her haircut is easier to see from the back. Anne wants to touch it again.
Sorry I scared you guys, she says.
I wasn't scared, Sasha says with her eyes pointed away. Marcy sighs again.
That's okay, Anna Banana.
She pulls at Anne's collar, positioning it down and around her shoulder again. She moves around behind Anne to get a better look. Her cold fingertips barely brush against the exposed skin. Anne tenses. Marcy pulls away.
Sorry, did that hurt you?
No, no. Your hands are just cold.
She feels like it's a lie to excuse it at that. She would have reacted the same had Marcy's touch been warm.
Oh, okay, sorry.
She leans in to inspect the injury without touching Anne.
All right, you're bleeding a little.
Anne sees Sasha's expression dip into panic before she covers it up with more indifference. Anne nudges her with her foot. She looks up with a blank expression, acknowledging nothing.
And I need to clean it. It's not bad at all, though. Mostly, I think it'll just bruise. This'll only take a second.
She puts her hand on Anne's upper arm, taking care to keep the grip slowly over the fabric on her shirt sleeve.
Sasha, hand me that washcloth next to the sink.
She does. Marcy presses the rag to her shoulder, carefully. Anne tries to hold back a wince. Ow. Sasha takes her hand and squeezes it, which helps as a distraction.
Sorry, I'm almost done.
Marcy's closer than she anticipated now. The words breathe against the back of Anne's neck, send shivers down her spine. Things are still, agonizingly so, for the next few moments. The rest of the party bustles outside. Marcy is quiet in her concentration, her attempts not to hurt Anne. Something in her stirs every time Marcy's hands accidentally graze over her shoulder. Funnily enough, it isn't pain. Her breathing is going all funny again.
Done,
Marcy says, smoothing the edge of the bandage on her skin. And then the contact is gone. Anne hates that it makes her upset. What is wrong with her? Thanks, she says. She replaces her shirt collar across the top of her shoulders. You're welcome.
Don't do that again. What were you even trying to prove? Nobody would have made you do that without reason.
Sasha chimes in. It was the same stupid kid who called on you. He started asking about when she waves her hand through the air. Marcy gets the message. I think he was mad after you rejected him. Nice one, by the way. And he took it out on Anne.
You think?
Marcy says, then backtracks.
Wait, rejected? Is that what that was?
Pretty much, yeah. Anne says, rubbing her arm. I thought you knew that, the way you spoke to him. She trails off. It was definitely something. She lets her mind wander to how unwilling Marcy was to comply, and feels a sick sort of comfort. Security. Her gaze travels to Marcy's hair, concrete proof that she didn't choose him. The thought surprises her as it passes through her mind. Didn't choose him? Choose him over what? Her and Sasha?
Damn it, she's being overprotective again, isn't she?
Marcy can do what she wants with her life. She will eventually, Anne has to remind herself. That guy's a jerk, and she's glad Marcy can recognize that enough to not engage him. But there are plenty of non-jerk guys out there. Someday, she'll... Nausea shoots through Anne's stomach. Ugh, she didn't want to be thinking about this again tonight. Whoa, you okay there? Sasha asks. Marcy gasps.
Oh no, if you think you might pass out...
No, I'm good. Anne waves them off. We can get back out now. They exchange a look.
Are you crazy?
Sasha blocks the door handle to prevent an escape attempt. Marcy, check if she has a concussion.
I don't think those people like us, Anne. Sure they do.
Anne stands. She has to break through to them somehow, convince them other people are worth it. The other people here aren't making it easy.
They were just joking around. They made you jump out of a window.
Marcy emphasizes each word.
People can die from that. I'm sure they didn't know. We're fine as long as we steer clear of that one kid.
They don't look convinced. All right then. She has a backup plan.
Please, you guys, do it for me.
It's low, but she can't explain to them why she's doing this for them. Sasha breaks. Ugh, fine. A few more minutes, but then we're going. Marcy nods her reluctant approval.
Yes, thank you.
She jumps up to pull her friends into a hug. You won't regret it. Anne immediately regrets this. As if it wasn't already bad enough, she's now being talked about and exclusively referred to by the partygoers as that girl who jumped out the window. She can't tell whether that's better or worse than being known as the girl who disappeared for 6 months. And as if that wasn't bad enough, a couple minutes in, when she's just about resigned to leaving, somebody walks into the center of the crowd, brandishing an empty glass bottle and a smirk. It's overtly cliché, but Anne shouldn't have let herself think they were above this. Jeez, these people sure love getting themselves into compromising romantic situations. So, whatever. The party thing is a bust. They'll try again at socializing some other time. Somewhere with more rules and less bad decisions. A high school party was probably ambitious. We can leave now, she whispers to Sasha and Marcy. Sasha just stares at her, lips quirked. Why? she asks. You scared? Anne feels a twinge of something. Maybe she is. Nah, she says. The thought of kissing any of these guys makes me want to puke, though. Ha, yeah. Now come on, let's get out of here before somebody ropes us in. You know, because you two are so weak to peer pressure, apparently. Anne touches her shoulder at the same time Marcy feels what used to be the end of her hair. They slip away from the growing commotion of 1 week-long relationships waiting to happen. They're in the entryway, within view of the door, when Marcy freezes in place. Something wrong, Marbles? Anne follows her line of sight. Wandering in their direction while focused on his phone is the catalyst of it all. The guy who had been hitting on her. There won't be much time before he notices them. Marcy, thinking fast, opens and ducks into the first door she sees, on their right. Anne is close behind them. Sasha does not make it. Before she can, his eyes are on her. She pushes against the door, closing it with her side as if she intended to lean on it all along. Hey, Sasha, right? Can I ask you something? They hear, before the lock clicks and it all turns muffled. Anne mentally thanks her for her sacrifice. She backs farther into the room. Marcy grunts. I wish he'd give it a rest already. Me too. He seems super dedicated. Like, way too dedicated. Do you know him from somewhere? Kind of. I went to check out the school's esports team once, and he lectured me for an hour about a game I don't play. She scratches the back of her neck. Ooh, sounds like a real catch. Marcy chuckles. Anne looks around the room they're in. Small, with a couch and a little TV. A lamp stands in the corner, but she doesn't think it would be smart to turn it on right now. The tiny amount of light filtering from an outside street lamp and through the window over the couch is enough to see each other with. Anne collapses onto the couch cushions. A tired sigh racks itself from her lungs. Marcy sits next to her. She keeps her hand curled at the top of her knees. He wasn't super mean or anything, she says, eyes downcast. I just never want to do that kind of stuff with him. Is that bad? I don't think so. Anne reclines, hands behind her head. I wouldn't either. Marcy falls against the back of the couch with her. Well, yeah, but not just because he specifically sucks. Maybe I'm just scared. She plucks at the seam of a cushion. I've never been on a date before. Not much time for it while maintaining a stable government in a different world. Marcy looks at her. Seems that way. She places a hand under her chin in thought. Anne wonders for the millionth time what's going on in that brain of hers. The door opens. Sasha slips inside and closes it behind her as quietly as possible. Is he gone? Anne whispers, sitting up. Can we go now? Sasha turns the lock. Damn. What happened? Marcy asks. Was it bad? Sasha turns to them. So I may have panicked. She wrings her hands. I told him you left, and he asked why you would do that without me, so I said you were coming back soon. She makes curt motions with her arms, flicking her wrists in several directions as she talks. And I tried to get him to leave, I really did, but now he's sitting out there waiting for you. Right next to the door. She puts her head in her palms. This sucks so bad. What's even stopping us from walking past and pummeling him if he gets too close? Basic social rules, Anne says. And Marcy's conflict avoidance, which she's sure Sasha understands. On a better day, where she wasn't socially exhausted already, she might have been more willing to speak her mind to the kid and shut him down. Not today. Even Anne finds herself opting for an easy way out. That may be the dull, throbbing pain clogging your head and tiring her, slowing her thought process. Oh well. Let's stay here and chill for a minute, she says. Try and wait him out, you know? As long as I don't have to deal with him again. Sasha settles down next to Anne. Not like we have anywhere else to be. The couch creaks as she gets comfortable. Silence permeates the space. Anne watches a shadow occasionally pass under the door. Every once in a while, a bout of gasping laughter will pour from the main room. Hollering and wolf whistles are commonplace, too. All pauses for a few seconds to the clink of a glass across a hardwood floor. She can't imagine being in there. She doesn't want to. She's much happier where she is. The side of Marcy's hand brushes against her own from its placement on the couch. After one particularly loud reaction from their classmates, Marcy breaks the silence between them. You've kissed people before, right, Sasha? She snaps to attention.
Yeah, I have.
It's all right, if that's what you were wondering.
Interesting. Marcy nods thoughtfully.
Okay, so when you're... If you... She pauses to sort out what she wants to say.
Like, how?
Is what she settles on.
How do you know what to do, or, like, when?
Sasha stutters.
It kinda comes naturally, I guess.
She looks down at her hands.
And I, don't really know about the timing thing.
It's only ever been for dares, she mumbles.
Huh. In that case...
A sly smile works onto Marcy's face. She leans into Anne's side, wrapping around her arm while staring at Sasha.
I dare you to kiss me.
Sasha pales, then the redness rushes to her face. Anne feels herself do the same, despite not being the person the question was directed at. She tries not to think about her friend's kissing, not something she thought she'd be dealing with tonight. It's surprisingly hard. She doesn't hate the idea.
I...
Sasha sputters, mercifully dragging Anne from her thoughts. Marcy stumbles over herself.
Not like that. I just meant, since I've never done it before, maybe I could, you know...
She gulps.
Practice? For the real thing.
That makes no sense. Anne thinks it might make sense, more so than the alternative.
I don't know,
Sasha continues. Marcy's grip on Anne's arm tightens.
I shouldn't...
She keeps looking at Marcy, her eyebrows furrow. She bites the inside of her cheek.
I shouldn't, she says again. Yeah, it was dumb.
I'll do it, Anne hears herself say. Her stomach clenches as she realizes. But when she searches for the intense aversion she felt earlier, thinking about her classmates in the same way, there's nothing there aside from nervousness. Nervousness that feels a little too excited for her comfort. Marcy turns to her.
Really?
Yes, Anne thinks, seeing the reflection from the street lamp bulb glisten in her eyes, feeling the soft, cool hands around her forearm. 1,000 times, yes.
Yeah, sure,
she breathes. For practice.
Of course,
Marcy nods, then looks to Sasha.
So, how do we...
Sasha blinks. Her eyes flit between the two. She swallows.
You just kinda have to...
She makes an indecipherable motion with her hand.
Go for it.
Anne doesn't want to know how fast her heart is beating. She holds her breath, Marcy's hands travel to rest on either side of her face. Anne's skin goes numb everywhere she touches. They lock eyes. They freeze for a second. Inexplicably, the tension snaps as they both burst into laughter. Anne lazily tangles her outstretched fingers into Marcy's as she's overcome with a flood of hilarity. She leans forward until her forehead is against Marcy's chest, and they're both laughing messes who can't sit up straight. Whenever they catch each other's eyes, it starts all over again. "Guys, guys!" Sasha says through her own laughter, though it's lighter than theirs. She takes Anne's wrist. "You really don't know how, huh?" They both manage a head shake. "Ugh, fine. I guess I can show you. I mean, 'cause you're gonna need some experience so you don't start laughing in his face when you do it for real." "Right. His. This is just practice for the real thing. A trial run. No emotion required. This is just a step to take towards successful, fulfilling, normal lives." Anne doesn't notice Sasha dragging her closer until she's guiding Anne's hands to the back of her head. She pushes Anne's bangs from her eyes before letting her own hands fall lightly to her sides, just above her waist. "Whenever you're ready." Anne's face is hot. Everything is sped up and slowed down in a confusing, mind-turning jumble. "This is just practice." Her hands move of their own accord, pulling Sasha in. She just has to go for it. Her eyes flutter closed. She buzzes with apprehension. No emotion required. She kisses her, and it feels like the world turns on its head. Anne's never kissed anyone before, so she can't imagine she's any good. But it feels like she's doing something right if she wants it to last. If Sasha gets lost enough to mindlessly draw a hand up to her, thankfully uninjured, shoulder. Is this actually helpful if it all becomes a blur and Anne can't actually remember the specifics of what she did? Does she care? When she pulls back, she's dizzy. Head swimming with a lack of oxygen or something else. If she didn't know better, she'd think Sasha slipped something into her drink after all. "How was that?" she asks, voice hoarse and whispery. She keeps holding on to Sasha in case it was bad and she needs to try again. Sasha is unreadable. She winds a strand of Anne's hair around her finger. "You're not terrible." "Oh, thank you?" Anne lets go of her. Sasha breaks out of the daze. She leans back as well. "Yeah, no, it's a good thing." She clears her throat. "Marcy, did you still want to..." Marcy is up before she can finish. She moves past Anne and crashes back down into Sasha's lap. Sasha catches her, a hand on the side of her midriff and upper leg so she doesn't fall off the couch. Her other side is pressed close. The rest of her legs splay out onto Anne's lap, which she doesn't either notice or care about. "I guess that's a yes," Sasha says. She sounds out of breath. Marcy stabilizes herself with an arm around Sasha's neck. The other she brings up to cradle her cheek. "It's a dare. I have to." Anne thinks to mention that it was Marcy who dared her, not the other way around. But she's far too curious to put a stop to this. She sees the hesitance and tension leave their shoulders as they come together. Her heart catches in her throat. She turns away so she's not watching them like some sort of creep, but she can't lose the urge to stare from the corner of her eyes, especially when Marcy's legs shift across her lap. She trains her eyes onto the window, biting her tongue. She figures it's safe when she hears Sasha speak. "See? It isn't hard at all," she says. Her eyes, dazed and half-lidded, wander across them. She visibly softens, smiling as she sinks back into the couch cushions. Anne thinks she wants to kiss her again. She debates whether she'd still be able to write it off as practice. Her brain catches up to her, panics, and immediately shuts down that train of thought. "Hey, Anne." Marcy touches her wrist. "Try again?" she asks quietly. She doesn't need to say anything more. Anne feels some kind of pride at being such a diligent friend, willing to comply with Marcy's request to ensure her success later in life, even though there's no benefit for herself. No deep desire to know how it feels to kiss her. No enjoyment to be found in the way Marcy's fingers knit through her curls. No excitement at being tugged in, at seeing her lips part slightly before shutting her eyes. Anne feels like she's falling. But it's fun in an unexpected roller coaster drop kind of way. She wouldn't mind falling deeper. Marcy is still sitting in Sasha's lap, which should make this feel more impersonal than it does. All Anne feels is comfort. Something about this is right. Marcy smiles against her lips. They pull apart to the sound of cheering from down the hall. Anne had almost forgot about the other room. The other people. She'd almost forgotten where they were. The reality of bad music and background conversations and being trapped in this dark, vacant room sets in. It feels like hitting the ground. The rush of emotion is overwhelming. She needs to back away from them so that she can think more clearly. She wants to get closer, because thinking is overrated anyway. She ends up keeping still and staring, transfixed at nothing in particular. She just likes looking at them. "Was that better?" Marcy gazes up at Sasha, who looks like she's forgotten how to move. Maybe the ability to speak has lapsed her mind, too. An amused smile bleeds onto her face as she recovers from the shock. "You've always been a fast learner." "Thanks. You make a good teacher." Marcy taps the tip of her nose with her pointer finger. Sasha's face scrunches. Anne thinks they might be getting too into this. It's not like they actually need to be flirting. In the back of her mind, she appreciates, maybe even enjoys, the attempt to sell the act. For realism purposes. But they need to get back on track. Whatever on track is. She clears her throat loud enough for them to hear. It backfires. "Oh, sorry, Anne." Sasha reaches over, traces her cheek. Which is fine, and doesn't nearly drown Anne in 100 more feelings she'd rather not decipher. "I guess you deserve some credit, too." "Some?" Anne thinks, despite herself. Fortunately, she retains enough self-control to stop it from going any further. Either that, or she's too flustered to put words behind a good response. "What? No, I was just gonna say that we should go. It's getting really late." Sasha's hand snaps down to her side. "Oh." Marcy blinks like she's just waking up. "Right," she says. "Yeah, right." She slides off of Sasha's lap. "I'll go check if he's still there." She skips over to the locked door. The abrupt mood change gives way to awkward silence. Anne doesn't necessarily have any post-kissing-your-besties conversation starters queued up. Marcy undoes the lock and pokes her head out. Anne hears a scampering noise, sees her body turn rigid, and then she slams the door shut, fingers swiftly replacing the lock. She backs away like she's been burned. Anne is on her feet before she knows what's happening. Sasha's already ahead of her. Marcy holds out her arms. "Maybe if we just stay quiet..." The door handle jiggles from the other side. Sasha rolls up her jacket sleeves. "Ugh, this is ridiculous. Why are we getting scared of some scrawny kid?" Marcy stops her.
There are, more of him now.
So? Sasha retaliates with an incredulous stare, communicating something along the lines of reminder that she's single-handedly defeated armies before.
For one, they're witnesses,
Marcy says. She's right. Social hierarchy dictates that news of any altercation, physical or otherwise, involving any of the three mysterious and potentially unstable girls in the grade, will spread like wildfire. Wouldn't it be too good for the social standing that Anne is trying to improve? Moreover, she doesn't want anyone getting hurt. She's pretty sure Sasha's exaggerating, but she'd rather be safe. She tries to calm her down with a hand on her arm. Somebody knocks on the door, saying something they can't make out. The handle moves again. Okay, you're right. Sorry. Sasha drops her raised fists. You think we can talk to him? After getting a whole group on board like that, I don't think he's open to an honest conversation. Ugh, stop making sense, Sasha says. So, what are we supposed to do? He's gonna get in eventually, and it's not like we can hide anywhere. This prompts all three of them to scan the room for anything they overlooked. Before long, Marcy's eyes are fixed on an area over the couch. Okay, hear me out, she starts. The others follow her line of sight as another fist pounds on the door. Whatever she's thinking is likely more reasonable than any of Anne's half-formed ideas. I know we got on Anne's case for jumping out of a window, but... or not. Marcy's mother is pleased to know, when she calls the Boonjoy household at precisely 11:14 p.m., that her daughter is safe and accounted for. Anne's mother is sweet and amicable over the phone, though she had been considerably less pleased to see her own daughter, as well as her daughter's two friends, show up on her doorstep precisely 23 minutes earlier, bruised and battered and very tired-looking. She covers her concern with annoyance, but seeing the girl's eyes glaze over at the start of her lecture, caves in and sends them upstairs to get cleaned up and go to sleep. It will have to wait till morning. Anne, Sasha, and Marcy bid her goodnight and file up the stairs, treading the familiar path to Anne's room. Each step drains them a little more, whether it be from general tiredness, emotional exhaustion, or the culmination of little scrapes and bruises from tumbling a few feet from a window. More than a few feet, in Anne's case. Her friends help support her, arms around her shoulders, until she can collapse in her own bed with a groan. Thanks, she says, letting herself relax for the first time in hours. No problem, Sasha mumbles. She climbs in after her. You can make it up to us by not making us sleep on the floor. The two extra sleeping bags in Anne's closet are a permanent fixture in the house, as much as both of her friends are. They're seldom used on nights like these, though, thick with drowsiness and the need to stay close. She holds out her arm for Sasha to slot into. Marcy crawls in next, resting atop them. Her weight is distributed across each of their chests. Anne sort of can't breathe, but it's okay. She strokes the back of her head. Though subtle, the feeling of shorter hair at the base of her neck is still surprising. I'm sorry my parents called. I didn't tell them to do that. She mumbles into Anne's shoulder. That's okay. Good thing we were back. Anne knows she doesn't like talking about them. But if they're on the subject, she might as well ask. What do you think they'll have to say about this? She threads a strand of hair between her fingers. I don't know. They didn't even like it when I cut my hair short the first time. She takes Anne's hand. I don't know, she says again. I hope they hate it. Well, I like it, Anne says. Sasha hums her agreement. Marcy giggles. She settles against them. Good, I'm glad. Anne watches, feeling her get comfortable. Her movements become lethargic. Her breathing evens out. Anne could wrap her in her arms if it wouldn't risk waking her. The protectiveness for her friend, while subdued, never quite leaves. But Anne can feel better suspecting that it's reciprocated. That's not important right now. She traces Marcy's sleeping form with her eyes. Sasha's head presses into the curve between her neck and shoulder. She's really something, isn't she? Yeah, Anne says. I wish she didn't have to care about her stupid parents, or the stupid government. It's not fair that we have to be the ones to go through all of this. Just as fair as if it was anyone else. Sasha pauses, angling her head away. In the movements before she speaks again, she's silent enough for Anne to think she's fallen asleep, too. You know, you're a better group leader than I was, she says, unprompted. What? I'm not the leader. We don't have a leader. Sasha lets out a soft laugh. Sure you are. You got us to go to this thing, didn't you? I'm not saying it was better than my plans used to be, but you're trying harder. You're all considerate for our feelings and junk. Anne can't think of what to say. It's not a bad thing, Sasha continues. It's obvious you want the best for us, like I did. She hugs herself, which must be difficult since she's half pinned under Marcy. Just remember that we know what we want, too. Anne looks at the ceiling. Sasha's reading her too well. I know, she says. But I can't just let you two stop talking to other people forever. You're gonna want to branch out eventually. Eventually. Maybe when we aren't surrounded by edgy, try-hard teenagers. You're an edgy, try-hard teenager. True. But it's different. The stuff that happened to us was bad. Worse than they could ever imagine going through. I think I need to be around other people who get it for now. Bad is an understatement. Anne feels her arm curl over Marcy's back. Promise you'll still try later? I want you to be happy someday. I won't always be there to guide you. Sasha pulls away, leaving a cold, empty spot where she'd been resting. Anne worries she said something wrong. Anne, look at me. She does, turning her head so it rests on its side. I'm happy now. We don't stay because we need you to guide us. We stay because we like you. She runs her hand through Anne's bangs. Some of the emotions tangled in her stomach unknot at the familiar gesture. It might have been that way before, but we're learning. Okay? Okay, Anne says. I'm sorry for underestimating you. That's okay. I can't blame you. Sasha replaces her head at Anne's shoulder. Now, go to sleep. Easy enough. She already feels herself succumbing to drowsiness. Yawning, a thought occurs to her. One she normally wouldn't voice, but it's warm, and her friends are close, and they love her. So, what can she lose? Sash? She whispers. Sleep, Anne, comes a whisper back. She ignores her. Do you remember when we wanted a joint wedding? What? You know, a joint wedding. Like a triple ceremony for all of us to get married on the same day in the same place. We said we'd do it when we were kids. Sasha is quiet for a moment. Huh. Yeah. We could do that. Anne assumes that's that. She settles into the bed. A weight lifts from her that she didn't realize was there. After a couple of minutes, Sasha shifts, lightly pressing a kiss to her temple. Leaning over, she repeats the action on the crown of Mercy's head. "Good night, girls," she whispers. Anne will admit it takes a few seconds to catch up with her. She almost drifts asleep without saying anything. "Nobody dared you that time," she mumbles, struck with quiet realization. "Nope," Sasha affirms. She's back against Anne's neck. "Remind me to tell you about some stuff in the morning." "That's vague." Anne doubts she'll remember. Then again, it seems important, so maybe she will. Whatever it is, she's sure they can handle it. "I'll try," she thinks. She can't make her mouth form the words. Her body is already resolved to sink into unconsciousness. But she thinks Sasha knows. She thinks both of them know she'll always try, for their sakes. It's only fair. They would do the same for her.